The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Friday, August 29th. My name is Dan Wimbush and I'm the editor of the Tarlhurst End, an independent Reading fan site and blog. And I'm joined once again by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, how are you?
I'm very good, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Slowly recovering from Reading Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Which causes...
Got wet on Monday, did you?
I didn't, no. Thankfully, one of the few benefits of living just up the road in Tarlhurst means that I can walk home or get picked up on Sunday night. So I managed to avoid a deluge, but I imagine you had a little bit of a laugh at the poor wet souls traipsing past your offices on Monday.
They looked a sad sight, I've got to say, when I was looking out the office window on Monday.
It's a massive exclamation point, really. You've just had a cracking 5 days, and then it's like, this is definitely over, you're going to get rained on. But yeah, the only downside of my weekend was getting a text through from my dad midway through. I can't remember who I was watching, saying Reading a 4-0 down at Nottingham Forest, to basically put an exclamation point on a miserable week for Reading, really, because two defeats in a week, and after we last spoke, was it the other Sunday, everything seemed to be on the way up. We're just unbeaten in the first three games of the season and heading in the right way, but two defeats just took the shine off, really.
Yeah, the joys of the Championship, really, isn't it? It was a good start. Everyone was feeling quite positive and then sort of come crashing down back to earth. Not overly surprised, I think, sort of the start of the season. We've got to expect this is what we're going to have to look forward to this campaign. I think we're going to get some wins. We're going to get plenty of defeats. It's going to be an inconsistent season. And that seems to be how it's panning out. I mean, the Huddersfield game was very disappointing, wasn't it? It was just a poor start. Gave themselves too much to do. Had a brief rally in the second half, sort of spurred on by the introduction of sort of players like Aaron Cole, who I thought was superb, making his senior debut, and sort of raised the morale in the stadium a little bit. There was he thought maybe they'd scrape an equaliser, wasn't to be, and then go up to Forest and, well, just, there's not really many other words to use it, but it was a bit of a hammering, wasn't it? And against a very good side who got their tails up, and Reading defended poorly and were suitably punished.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they picked it up slightly in the week. They've got through to the third round of the Capital One Cup, where we've got a glamour draw away at Derby by beating Scunthorpe 1-0. Did you see signs of improvement in that game?
I can't say I was there, unfortunately. Like I said last week, obviously, I'm waiting for the baby to arrive. So the long trips are out for me at the moment. I've been very much Maidenhead bound and Reading office bound. So, I mean, the performance, from what I understand, it was pretty scrappy. Watching the highlights, it seemed most of the highlights came at the were going Scunthorpe's way, and they had more of the chances, not really clear cut chances, but they had more efforts on goal. But Reading dug in there, sort of kept a clean sheet, and then nicked it at the end through Jay Taylor. So all in all, after such a bad defeat at the weekend, going up to Scunthorpe winning 1-0 on a day where a lot of sort of Championship Premier League teams came unstuck against lower league opposition, I suppose you say job done.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for Reading to be in a cup later than Manchester United, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
The one downside of that win was another couple of injuries. This injury list is ridiculous. It's getting to the absurd points. Sean Cummings and Nick Blackman, the latest two, to seemingly join the treatment room. Just what is going on?
I know, it's just unbelievable. And I was talking to Nigel Atkins yesterday, and he said if the game was yesterday, so Thursday, Reading would have had 16 players unavailable. I think 14 of them were through injury. I think he was including Drenta and McCarthy in there as well. But I mean, 14, that's a staggering number. And obviously, there's lots of questions being asked, certainly on social media from fans, about what the hell is going on? Why are we getting so many injuries? What's going on in training? What's going on in the medical department? And I'll put that to him. And Nigel said there's going to be a bit of review over the international break. They're going to look at where they are, look at what they've been doing, how they've been handling injuries, how they've been trying to handle preventing injuries, see if they need to change things. But he also made the point that a lot of these injuries have come because of bad tackles. You talk about Sean Cummings and Nick Blackman, they both took hefty whacks. I don't know if you've seen the Sean Cummings tackle by Gary McSheffrey, I think it was, in the first 10 seconds of the game.
Yeah,
on Tuesday night. It was an absolute shocker of a challenge. Nigel Atkins called it horrendous. And, those two are now out looking at several weeks. They're both going for MRI scans on their knee. And it's not been confirmed yet, but Reading aren't hopeful that they're going to be back anytime soon. Then you look at Notts Forest as well, exactly the same. Michael Hector, Jordan Abita took hefty whacks. That's what's put them out. Those two, fortunately, doesn't seem like they're too serious. They've both got a slight chance of making Borough. If I was better man, I'd say they probably won't. But, you know, they're not long-termers. They'll certainly be back after the international break. I think Michael Hector's shin has got a really nasty bump on it and really swelled up after a collision on Saturday. And Jordan as well took a hefty one, and his knees are not right. But you say there's four players victims of bad tackles, and I suppose you've got Hal Robson-Kahn as well, got taken out. I can't even remember what friendly Hal got taken out in, but it was one of them. Yeah, Jem Karajan. I mean, obviously that was a bad sort of a twist in the knee. It wasn't really a foul, but it was still a impact on the pitch injury type thing. So it's not all down to medical department and training methods, and I can understand why fans are upset and sort of questioning what's going on. And like Nigel Atkins said, he accepts it and they are going to look at it, but a lot of it does seem to come down to bad luck as well.
Are we expecting any immediate returns after the international break of the likes of Danny Guthrie any closer?
Well, Guthrie's a strange one. It just seems to never be getting any closer, really. Obviously, he came on at Wigan and was okay, and you thought, oh, here we go. And then suddenly next game he wasn't around and he's been out ever since. I think he trained again this week with a team, but still didn't quite look right and was in a bit of discomfort. And it seems like they just can't quite get to grips with what's going on with this one. Obviously, as I said, Michael Hector and Jordan Abita, I imagine they'll certainly be back after the international break, if not at Borough, but I would say probably after the international break. Stephen Kelly is a calf injury that they can't seem to get right, and that hopefully, you know, you wouldn't expect that's going to be much longer considering it's been the whole season so far. I think what didn't help Stephen Kelly was going away with Ireland for pretty much the entire summer and only coming back 2 weeks before pre-season. He had no rest, and I think he's sort of suffering from that one. So, I mean, you've got the obvious long-termers, but hopefully this international break will give the squad a chance to sort of patch up some of these injuries and get them back ahead of Fulham, I think it is, on the first game back.
Absolutely. And lots of fans are obviously hoping for reinforcements with deadline day just 3 days away. What is the latest in terms of Reading bringing players in? There's been lots of players bounded about. We've had lots of people on Twitter this morning asking us about Cedric Bakambu. Useless with pronouncing names, but with that, and obviously we were mentioning over previous weeks Dean Hammond and other players. How much business are you expecting Reading to be doing before and on transfer deadline day?
Well, I'm expecting it to be very busy, and Nigel Atkins certainly wasn't sort of hiding that fact yesterday. In fact, he was very open in saying we're going to be very active, very busy. He was talking about getting pizzas delivered to the Madstad at 11 p.m. at night on Monday night. And when you compare that to last transfer deadline day, when he said he was going to be in bed before 11 o'clock, he's not pulling any punches, and he's expecting business to be done. I think we're looking at least two, possibly three in, hopefully three. A striker is very much top of the agenda. I've heard the Bakambu rumours that have started this morning. It's a new one on me. It's certainly a name that's been bandied around recently. I think his agent's working pretty well. He was heavily linked with Swansea last week. I think there's a link to Crystal Palace as well. I think a move to Germany has been on the cards for him. They got relegated. The team he played for, which I can't put on the top of my head now, got relegated. They got relegated last year. So he is available. He's represented France at all international levels except senior level. Seems to be fairly talented. Goal scoring record's not anything to really write home about, to be honest, when you look at it. So, I mean, that's one to keep an eye on. I'll certainly try and start chasing that one up. Like I said, it was the first time I'd heard that today. He's a striker, and a striker's what Reading are looking at. I mean, Nigel Atkins would love to bring Gary Hooper to the Medeski. I don't think it's going to happen, but he would love to somehow get him here, whether it be on loan. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they do try and do something between now and Monday with him, but I can't see that happening. I think Norwich are adamant that he's not going anywhere. I think he's even injured at the moment, so he's probably fitting well already. But I think the only reason he's not playing for Norwich at the moment is the fact that he's injured, and I think the question was put to them last week about the possibility of him leaving, and it seemed like they were pretty adamant that he wasn't. So although Nigel Atkins would love Hooper, I honestly think he would be first choice if he could put his hand into a bag and pull out one striker. I think it would be him, just because he knows exactly what he's about, and he obviously desperately wanted him last summer, couldn't get it done, and so I think he would jump at the chance to get him. And I wouldn't be surprised if some phone calls are made between Reading and Norwich, but I just can't quite see that one happening. Dean Hammond, long-term interest. Reading, Nigel Atkins would love to have a player like him at the club. I think his chances have certainly improved in the last 24 hours with Leicester getting the Cambiasso deal over the line. They're also, I think they've agreed a fee, haven't they, for Wigan's James McArthur, which will also help. And Danny Drinkwater, who has been injured recently, he'll be back after international break as well, because Hammond's actually started.
Yeah.
Started last weekend and came on the first weekend and has had a good start to the Premier League, and that probably hasn't helped Reading in terms of getting him. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if that happened. I think Nigel will certainly push for it. He wants him. He wants leaders like him in the team. So it's just, I mean, and there'll be plenty of names that I haven't heard of. I mean, look, Oliver Norwood, that came completely out of the blue. I hadn't had a sniff of that, and it just suddenly came out. And so,
well, it's nice to be going into a deadline day with optimism rather than expecting the tumbleweeds that we've seen the last three or four transfer deadline days.
It is. The only thing I remember was last summer deadline day, and I think the Saturday, Reading beat Yeovil 1-0. Lafondre scored the penalty, and speaking to Atkins afterwards, and he said he wanted two or three in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, I remember.
And we've gone on record as saying that, and none materialised. Obviously, ownership situation is far different now to what it is then. And I think Nigel was just probably unaware of just how serious the ownership situation was then when he made those comments. And it kind of set himself up for a bit of a fall, didn't it, that? And everyone was a bit angry following when the deadline passed and no one had come in. So I think he would have known that. And the fact that he was so open yesterday and so adamant that business was going to be done, I just can't envisage that we're going to have a similar situation this summer.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be made to look a fool again, to be honest.
No.
But he's likely to have some extra funds to play with, because it seems Alex McCarthy is all but a QPR player now. As we record this at 10:20, there's been no announcement. But are you expecting McCarthy to leave the Medeski today?
Yeah, I'm expecting the announcement today. I was down the training ground yesterday with Alex, as he was saying his goodbyes to all the staff. So he's as good as gone. I understand. Well, again, I saw rumours just as I picked up the phone today that there was reports that Spurs, Liverpool and Juventus had sort of come in late, but I think the deal for Alex is too far down the line now for QPR. I'm expecting that to be announced today. I'm not sure those three clubs that I mentioned, would, as glamorous as they are, let me take Tottenham out of the word glamorous there, actually. I don't know. he would very much be a number two goalkeeper there at those clubs, and I'm not quite sure that appeals to Alex. The whole reason he wants to move now and get to the Premier League is to be a first-choice goalkeeper, and I think QPR ticks all the boxes for that. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him house Robert Green before Christmas and very much be installed as number one at Loftus Road by the end of the season.
Some fans have been, I mean, the fee is suggested to be around about £2 million. A lot of fans have been griping, saying that's too low and that Reading should have held out for more. What do you make of that fee? Do you think it was good value?
I think it's around £3 million. I think it is. It's certainly higher than two, certainly nearer the three mark. I think that's about what Reading could have got. I mean, look, Alex, if they had sold Alex when his stock was his highest, you know, at the end of possibly the Premier League season, after that Liverpool performance, even, you know, halfway through last season, then yes, they would have got more. But the fact is, he's entering the last year of his contract now. And the club was in a bad bargaining position for someone of his age and his talent. And in the end, £3 million, I think, is about right. There's obviously hefty clauses included in this deal. So if I don't know exactly what it is, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if the sell-on clause we're talking is at least sort of 25%. And I can certainly see this happening a few years down the line. Alex McCarthy suddenly becomes a £15 million goalkeeper. You're talking decent money for Reading on any sort of sell-on there. And there'll be international appearance clauses, stuff like that. So although it's at the moment it's about £3 million, if Alex goes on to do what I fully expect him to do in his career, I think Reading will certainly be receiving an awful lot more money for him.
Yeah, and just on the out front as well, if we do get these two or three players that we're expecting to get in, is there anybody else you might be seeing leaving on a permanent basis?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Hope Akpan leave between now and Monday, depending on what business Reading do in terms of coming in. You know, if someone like Dean Hammond came in, I just think midfielders, they're so stocked in central midfield, especially when the injured players come back, that there's just a lot of players there. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Hope leave. He hasn't had the greatest start to the season. His confidence seems very low to me. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was one that we might see happening between now and Monday.
Yeah, there was talk around January last year, wasn't he? Akpan was coming out in the press saying about how he wanted to play regular football, and he didn't seem particularly happy. And Adkins, I think, was quite sharp with him, wasn't he?
He was,
he needs
yeah.
to up his performance level. Yeah. So doesn't look like they're the friendliest of pairs. But no, I think you're right with that, with the deluge of players we've got in central midfield. Well, as soon as they all start leaving the treatment room, anyway, could be one to go. Then we also had another quick question from someone on Twitter who asked which of the youngsters you might consider sending out on loan and which you'd want to keep for the season. Because we've seen, you know, how many academy graduates is it now? 8, 9 this season?
Yes.
Who out of those do you think is worth keeping around when these players come back, and who do you think just needs to go out on loan?
Well, I think a lot of them are benefit for going out on loan, to be honest. And at the moment, obviously, they're being used because they have to be used because there's so many injuries. But when you look at someone like Aaron Cole, who's, you know, he's slotted in seamlessly since he's come into the side, looks so assured, so comfortable on the ball, and comfortable in senior football, which is, to me, a little bit of a surprise, just given because he hasn't been out on loan before. And he's slotted straight into it. But when you've got Danny Williams, Danny Guthrie, Jem Karajan, all of those sort of players coming back, if Dean Hammond happened, I mean, where's Aaron going to fit into this? And there's no point him now necessarily going back and slotting into the under-18s or anything like that. So if these new signings materialise and the injured players come back, I'd love to see Aaron Cole go out on loan at some point this season and get a good 3 or 4 months. Same with Craig Tanner. I mean, they've shown in their little brief cameos already that they can handle senior football. They can handle the demands of senior football. Obviously, playing one appearance is very different to playing 4 months solidly in the Championship or League One. So, but I'd very much want to see those two go out and really see what they could do on a consistent basis. And I think it will help them massively in terms of their development, which is already looking very exciting. So all of those sort of players, I don't have any problems with them going out on loan, and I'm sure Nigel Atkins wouldn't either. The fact is, at the moment, unfortunately, they can't go out on loan because he has to use them because he doesn't really have any other choice.
Well, I suppose that is the one good thing. Obviously, the loan window does reopen a week after the transfer window closes, so we can send them out, and they can go out on, you know, month-to-month basis as well. So if we do have further injuries or setbacks, we can call them back. So, yeah, I would be expecting quite a few to go out. Our loan report that goes out every week, there's only 3 out on loan at the moment, and they're all goalkeepers, so certainly going to be a few more to add to that.
Yeah, I'd think so.
But moving ahead then, We talked about the money and the transfers maybe coming in and out. Just, it's always worth referencing. It wouldn't be a podcast without it. But what is the very latest with the takeover? I understood you spoke to the Football League this week.
Yeah, I gave the league a call just to see what was going on. Unfortunately, you don't get much from them because they say it's very much up for Reading to make statements. It's Reading to take over. The Football League don't really have. They obviously control it and make sure it's all kosher. But in terms of actually saying anything on the record or comment on it, they say that's not their place because it's Reading's takeover, so it's up to Reading to make any statements on this, on the progress. And so it's very much as you were in that, the fact that, you know, the league have done the interviews. I think checks that must still be going on because obviously they haven't given it the green light yet. There are a few nerves beginning to grow from what I understand at Reading in terms of the sort of length of time it's taking it and exactly why things haven't sort of progressed yet. I mean, a lot of the ties have gone back now, the sort of key players. I think Seema's back in Thailand, Samrit's now back in Thailand, and the checks are just ongoing. I still don't foresee there being problems. I still think it's gonna get passed, but obviously fans, everyone alike, the longer it goes on, the more people start getting nervous. But I was just going to say,
do you think the Football League are taking extra time because of what's happened before?
I think so. I think they are. And I think there is genuine some sort of concern about, I believe, Samrit more than anyone, of where the sort of proof of where the money is coming from and exactly how it's being gathered and what his businesses are over there and the full turnover of the businesses. And does he have the funding to help the club move forward? And I think a lot of the Football League's sort of search at the moment is regarding Samrit. He's obviously had people from rival bids. I think a lot of people know
who I'm talking.
Yeah, there's been an awful lot of mudslinging going on behind the scenes, and people have been dripping certain people information, and I don't think that's helped, and it certainly made people look into things more, and it's just a complicated process. And I think it's just impossible to put a time on it when it's going to get through. It's just down to the Football League. There is no time frame on these things. As the Football League told me on the phone, some will go through very quickly. They pointed at Leyton Orient, for example, as that the Bechetti takeover went very quickly once it all started moving forward. And then you look at the Sheffield Wednesday process, you look at the Leeds United process, you know, that dragged on and on. And even look back at the old Reading, you know, the TSI one as well. I mean, how long did that drag on for? So, you know, as frustrating as it is for everyone, I think it's just going to, we've just got to remain patient and we'll get an answer soon enough.
Are there any reasons for Reading fans to be concerned if this, for whatever reason, the Football League blocks the deal? Again, we've had a couple of Twitter questions saying, well, what happens if the takeover doesn't go through, because we've spent this money on the likes of Norwood, and whereas months ago we were almost facing a winding up order over an unpaid tax bill. Is the club on sound financial footing if everything goes kaput?
Well, I should sincerely hope so. It's a hard one for me to answer that. The club knows how precarious their position was just a couple of months ago. You know, we were talking days before administration, and that was sorted obviously by the Alfie transfer. And I just can't imagine that people at the top of the club who have, you know, put a complete transfer embargo on things for a year because of the situation the club was in would suddenly now place the club in immediate risk by doing what they've done and suddenly brought in some players and paid transfer fees and added to the wage bill. So there must be guarantees somewhere along the line that, you know, that if this does all go wrong, then there must be guarantees about what happens in regards to that. I can't answer it for a fact because I just don't know. But I wouldn't understand any sort of business running in a way which you could be really putting yourself in further in trouble when you've been working so hard for the past year to ensure that, you know, the club stays alive.
Yeah, you'd desperately hope so. Well, moving away then from off-field matters back to on the field, we mentioned about some of the injuries and some of the players that are going to be missing for Saturday's trip to Middlesbrough. I mean, how do you see this game going? I mean, our prediction skills haven't been top-notch so far this season. I think we've got 2 out of 4 right, both. How do you see the Borough game going? Obviously, they're a team, a perennial sleeping giant in this division. Yeah. But a mixed start to the season, but how do you see this one going?
Honestly, I think Middlesbrough are going to win. I think I predicted 2-0 in the newspaper. I think it's just going to be another very tough away day for Reading, given the resources they've got available to them. I like Middlesbrough this season. I think Karanka's done a very good job there and he's built a very good side. They haven't quite hit the heights yet. They've been a bit inconsistent this year. I think they've won 2, lost 2 of the league games, and they got beaten at home by Sheffield Wednesday last weekend. But I think they've got a decent team. You know, you look at their central midfield players, you've got Adam Clayton in there, you've got Ledbetter, and then up front you've got Kike, who looks exciting and looks a decent striker. And they've just got a lot of power in their team, and I just think we could be looking at a bit of a sort of similar sort of outcome to not as far as hopefully not as bad in terms of a scoreline, but I just think it might be a little bit tougher Reading this with so many injuries to key men. So if you're asking for a prediction, I've got to say 2-0 Borough.
Yeah, I'm personally, this is going to be I wrote an article on the Tyler Sun this week about this being the dark before the dawn, and I think this will probably be the low point before we do start seeing those new signings and reinforcements come back. So yeah, I'm gonna unfortunately have to agree with you. I'm gonna go for 3-1 to Borough. I think we'll get a goal. But now I can't see anything better than that. But
I like that. I like that description. I think dark before the dawn. That kind of sums it up nicely. Hopefully, given we're pretty much at the darkest we can get to at the moment in terms of injuries and stretched options. And hopefully after Monday, the new players come in, injuries start getting better and we can start to move forward.
Well, so it can't get any worse. And I know this isn't the best example to use, but we on the Tyler Centre are playing a Football Manager virtual championship this year, run by the makers of the game. And we're asked to, you know, put our team out against whoever we're playing this week. But they don't impose any injury restrictions. So we're allowed to use all the players that are at the team. And the team that we can field with the likes of Williams, Karachan, McCleary, you know, it's a fantastic side that you'd put your money on to beat anybody in the championship. And when all those players do come back, plus if we add 2 or 3, I don't see any reason for Reading to fear anybody in this division. Because that team is strong. And you saw through some of the performances when we did have those players fit last year that we were a match for anyone.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, those players you just listed there, who in the championship would not want Gareth McCleary? Who wouldn't want Jem Karachan? Who wouldn't want Danny Guffrey, Danny Williams? You know, they're top quality players in this division. And it's such a shame to have them all out at the same time and for such a long time as well. It's just really, really hitting Reading when in a time when they can't really afford it. And it is frustrating, it is annoying, and we're going to see results like Nottingham Forest because of that, because we've got so many young players coming in. And to be honest, with the Notts Forest game as well, I've got to say that it was a lot of senior players who were at fault for that performance. I mean, Chris Gunter, who I'm Gunter's biggest fan, he was fantastic last season, but he's having a bit of a bad time at the moment. I'm not quite sure why. He was poor against Huddersfield, and then, I mean, he was caught napping against Nottingham Forest big time, and a couple of those goals were down to him, and he's so consistent. So when you got someone like Chris Gunter making mistakes, you know that times are tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fingers crossed, as I said, this is, well, hopefully even better, that we'll go up and pull off a surprise result. No one expected a draw at Wigan, and we got that. So yep. Hopefully they can pull off another shock. But that is it for us. We'll probably come back next week at some stage. If you're around, if the new arrival hasn't arrived, and record to recap the transfer deadline day. But in the meantime, I'm pleased to announce that the main edition of this show will be coming back on Sunday. Myself, Westy, and Johnny will be getting together on Sunday at my house to record our first main show of the season. So stay tuned for that. Probably Monday that'll come out. But that's it for us. Will you be blogging live on deadline day?
Yes, I'm sure. I'll be tied to my desk till 11 PM at night, and well, possibly longer on Monday. It's going to be a busy day, unless I get a phone call saying my missus has gone into labour.
then it's Jonathan's long day.
Yeah.
But hopefully you get to the Medeski and they do order you a pizza.
Yes. I think we'll see some more Bushwatch by the sounds of it as well. Looking at people on Twitter.
Oh God! It seems so long since Momo Sissoko was at Medeski. Anyway, right, that about wraps it up. We're turning this from an extra podcast into an epic, so we better wrap it up. That's it from us. I said, head over to getreading.co.uk for all the letters from Charles, and you can head over to thetilehurstend.com to read plenty more fan opinion and analysis from us. That's it for us. Have a good weekend, guys, and fingers crossed we can pull off something at Borough. Ta-da.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.